let's take a deep dive into Scripture with Father John Wargel and Danny Gallagher. During each episode, we'll be sharing our insights about the Bible passages presented on a related post on Father John's website, AncientHopes.org. To find the post we're discussing, go to the AncientHopes.org website and search for the title of this podcast using the search box on that page. Our discussions on this show will follow the posts listed on the AncientHopes.org website. Here are your hosts for our deep dive into Scripture today, Father John and Danny. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to another Deep Dive into Scripture podcast and radio show. I'm Danny Gallagher, and I'm sitting in the studio with Father John, who's across from me smiling at something. I don't know.
Good morning.
He's just happy to be here.
Happy to be here, right? Yeah.
Woo, I can't believe it. Okay, so I already said this, but I'm going to say it again for the recording.
Uh-huh.
We are going to talk about your next blog post on AncientHopes.org. Is about the personality, in quotes, of Yahweh.
Yeah. Yeah, God is a person. In fact, we know as Christians, there's three persons in one God, right?
Yes.
And so that means that God has what? Personality.
Different personalities. and in this blog post, when I read it and thought about it and read the scriptures that's associated with it, the verses that you have, this is not easy for me, because what you're saying here is that God's personality ranges from the absolute loving God who loves us, and that's the one I lean toward, to the terrifying, unbelievably, not harsh, but just needs to love us in a way that scares us, really, truthfully.
Well, yeah, and I would call that, a magnificent transcendence, okay? I mean, we see this, how God interacts with, like, let's say the prophets, Isaiah, with the throne vision, okay? We've got Jeremiah and the way God treats Jeremiah.
Yeah.
We've got Ezekiel, where the visions, are just so amazingly weird and discomforting. He takes the prophet by his hair of his head and pulls him up and drags him here and there. You know what I mean? So there is this magnificent, transcendence. I mean, that's just the way it is, because he dwarfs the whole universe, right?
Right, sure.
Right. So
I get it, but it's still really hard for me to see that side of God. And then to move that into the person of Jesus, too.
Right. Yeah. And I think that that's because we're a product of our culture.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, in the 60s and on, we were both children of the 60s, right?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. This informality came in and has become like the most important thing. And with the Jesus movement, Jesus is my friend and that stuff like that. And look at you. You're a hippie. You know what I mean?
It's true.
Right. So it's part of our culture, that we swung off to that side. And I think we're seeing now a swing back to the whole idea of transcendence.
Uh-huh.
Because the soul needs that sense of transcendence. It really does. But these are both part of God's personality.
Yeah.
God's personality is very complex.
Yes.
Right?
Clearly. Well, and like every person. That's the thing.
That's right. It's true. Right. Okay. So Yahweh, however, seems to be very engaging with Moses. Okay.
Yeah.
We saw earlier. No. Wait a minute. We haven't seen it yet. I always forget where we're at.
Right.
Later on, we're going to see that Moses spoke to Yahweh face to face, as a man speaks with his friend. In their conversations, there's this give and take, right?
Yeah.
And there's almost a parody, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we saw some of that already with the call of Moses, remember?
Right, yeah.
Five times Moses said, No,
not me.
Yeah.
Send somebody else. Come on.
Yeah, right. And there's this going back and forth,
Yeah, you're the all-powerful. Get somebody else to do this. Yeah.
Right. So we see this intimacy, and quite frankly, this is the intimacy that God wants to enter in with his people.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's the whole reason why he's breaking in to Moses' life right now.
Yep.
Okay. You know, so we don't say that Moses is unique and this happened to him and he's just one of the happy few, right? We have a very important scripture here in chapter 4, verses 21 through 23.
Yes.
Okay. Matter of fact, this is so important that it is the central idea of everything from Exodus 1 through Exodus 15.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have to get this right.
Yes.
If we get this right,
we'll
understand.
And that's why you focused, and that's why you focused on it in your blog post. I understand that now.
Right, right. Okay. He said, and the Lord said to Moses, on your return to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders I have put in your power. But I will harden his heart, and he will not let the people go. So you will say to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. I say to you, let my son go that he may serve me. Since you refuse to let him go, I will kill your son, your firstborn.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of personality here.
Yeah, a lot of personality. and it's a little bit complicated. Okay. It's a lot complicated.
Right.
But part of it for me is complicated because of the use of the pronouns in here. And I'm not sure, you know, who it is that he's talking about, but of course you explained it, so now I understand.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what's going on here. There are images, there are motifs here that are very important. First of all, it's the firstborn. Most centrally, it's a firstborn motif.
Yeah.
Now, firstborn doesn't mean that God has children, okay, and in the human way. Firstborn is used in Scripture from the beginning to the end as preeminent.
Okay.
Preeminent is a good way of understanding that. It's a metaphor that evokes emotion and pride, that which is, you know, your best.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
We see this in the Old Testament, in the Psalms. Okay, Psalm 89, 27, where this idea of firstborn is applied to the Messiah.
Uh-huh.
And so when it comes to the New Testament, when Jesus called, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased.
Right.
Okay, what he's saying is that Jesus is the pride of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that is a very intimate thing. And so God considers Israel, these people, as his firstborn.
Yes.
Okay. That's intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to draw them into the same intimacy that he is that Moses experienced.
Yes, right. Okay.
And that's a key idea that recurs throughout the book of Exodus.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get that in mind. Okay. So the firstborn, but it also helps us understand what's going to come.
Yeah.
It's a battle. Okay. It's going to be between Pharaoh and it's going to be between Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Pharaoh considers himself and the whole country considered him a god.
Yes. So
okay.
He's sort of the false god.
Yeah, he's the false god, right? And Yahweh's true god.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole thing is framed as a battle over the firstborn.
Okay.
Okay.
So Pharaoh's real son versus
right.
God's people of Israel.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And the implications of this, as far as Egyptian history is concerned, is really huge, because when you think of Egypt, you think of dynasties.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Pharaoh's firstborn, his pride, would be the one that he would expect to carry on the dynasty after him.
Sure. He would receive the
right.
power or whatever to be the next god,
right.
king.
Right. So Yahweh is searching right at the very heart, the jugular vein of Egypt's pagan identity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so who's going to win? Of course, we know that it's hardly a contest. I mean, it isn't a contest.
Right,
because okay?
God is the real God.
You got it, because God is real God and Pharaoh's not, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but they're playing for keeps, okay? And that's what God always plays for keeps.
Right.
Okay,
well, that's definitely, you know, this is all about God here. You learn so much about who God is
right.
when he says this.
Yeah, he doesn't mess
he's
around.
He's like, no,
yeah.
he is not messing around.
And he said, you know, one of our firstborns is going to die. It's not going to be mine. It's going to be yours.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay. How does this fit into our modern concept of God, you know, right? This benign idea of, you know, it just doesn't fit.
Right.
So that's why we need to get into the Old Testament, because he slaps us around in our, you know, preconceived ideas of who he is.
Yes.
He's full of personality, and quite frankly, he can be scary.
Yeah. A little terrifying is the word I love.
And that has to be, you know what I mean? You know, if you understand God, then he's not God. He's on your level.
Yeah.
And everybody walks around assuming they understand God, okay? And, or not everybody, but, you know.
People do, yeah.
You don't, you know? So we have to shake up our idea about God. Okay. And right away, it does shake up. Because right after this pronouncement, we had this quiotic little story here, and you wonder why it's placed here. Okay.
Yes, yes.
After this magnificent moment, it says this in verse 24. At a lodging place on the way, the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it and said, "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me." So he let him alone. Okay, now, remember the things that you need to look for. Okay, number one, motifs, right? We've been looking at that already as a firstborn motif. Okay?
This is like the circumcision motif.
Well, this is, it is. It is a motif. We saw that with Abraham, you know.
Right.
But also, problems are your, you remember that?
Friend.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Problems are your friend.
Yeah, so when there's a problem, you look for something deeper.
Yeah, have to look for something deeper.
You're listening to the Deep Dive into Scripture radio show and podcast with your hosts, Father John Wardle and Danny Gallagher. The text that we're discussing can be found on the AncientHopes.org website. Then use the search box to find the post with the same title as this podcast. Let's get back to our show with Father John and Danny.
But also, problems are your, you remember that?
Friend.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Problems are your friend.
Yeah, so when there's a problem, you look for something deeper.
Yeah, have to look for something deeper, right. And structure. I mean, why is this placed here? It seemed like a completely parenthetical thing.
You're not kidding because, well, it's parenthetical, but it's a, I don't know, a big part of the story, because we understand a lot more about who God is by this little verse or two.
Well, you know? it does jump out at you, doesn't it? Right.
Yeah.
So, first of all, there's all sorts of ambiguity here. Now, the lodging place on the way, the Lord met him. Okay, first of all, lodging place, where are they moving from here to where or whatever? It just sort of, you know, again, it just sort of stuck in here, but it's stuck in here for a reason.
Well, they were on their way to Egypt, right? I mean, God had already sent him. So he didn't, by this time, did he pick up his family and start to roll?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Okay.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. So you're right. And I was wrong on that. That's good. Okay. Thanks for pointing that out. But he met him. Okay. The antecedent to that pronoun is ambiguous. Who did he meet?
Right.
Did he meet Moses? You'd think so, right?
Right. Just because of the context of the story, but
right.
It's sort of jammed in here. So.
Right.
And, not sure.
But it's also in the context of firstborns.
Ah.
Okay.
Okay.
So it could be that God met him, that is, Moses' firstborn.
Mm.
Again, okay. Again, we're talking about firstborns in a battle of firstborns, right?
Yes.
And here's Moses' own firstborn, right?
Yeah.
And God is he ready to kill Moses? When you think about it, I don't know. I don't think so. Okay, because he just commissioned him, right? So it's most probably, since it's the context of firstborns, Moses' own firstborn, especially when you see what Zipporah does.
Yes.
Okay. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it. Okay, now what on earth is going on here?
This is so weird.
Well, one thing for sure is that circumcision is a sign of the covenant.
Yes.
And you have to ask yourself, why or how could Moses himself not have had this ritual performed on his son.
Yeah.
Okay, because we know from Abraham that even Abraham's own children were not sons of the covenant by nature, mm-hmm. but through circumcision.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so she circumcises him and touches Moses' feet with it. Now, what in the world's going on here? Well, it's well known in the Bible that the word feet, regal, can also be a euphemism for his own, you know, member,
yeah.
sexual member, okay?
Yeah.
And that would make sense because Moses was circumcised,
yeah.
and so she, you know, placed this against him, showing that, you know, you're circumcised. Why didn't you circumcise your own son?
Right.
Now, why he didn't do that, we don't know, but it didn't happen.
Yeah.
And Moses, even though he's in with God, God would have killed his son right there.
Yeah, right. I mean, well, he's not a member of the covenant.
That's right. And Moses better get his house in order or else there's
going
to be real problems, right?
Right, right. Now, we don't have any idea how old the son is at this time, right?
That's right.
Because I was thinking if the son is 8 months old or whatever.
That would be one thing. But if he was 18, it's another thing.
Yeah. I was thinking he was around 10 or something.
Yeah. Well, you can let your imagination fly there, so
yes.
We won't do that.
Okay, good.
Yeah, so, but all this shows you that, you know, you just can't mess with Yahweh.
Yeah.
Okay? You just got to be locked in to obedience.
Right. And this is the terrifying part for me, mm-hmm. because God is so intimate with Moses as God is with me. And then in the next verse, he's about ready to kill off either him or his
firstborn son.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
so
crazy.
You just can't. Yeah. Right. So now we might say, well, this is Old Testament stuff, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. Because if you look at a careful reading, let's say of the Gospel of Mark, it is amazing when you look at the drama of being with Jesus as it unfolds, okay?
Yeah, right.
You know, demons are shrieking throughout the whole gospel when they come in contact with God, right?
Yeah.
And the people and the disciples are often in a state of fear. And the Greek word there is phobeo. We get the word phobias from, right?
Oh,
okay.
Right, yeah.
They're in terror of the numinous. And we've used that word a lot.
Yeah.
I love that word. And
yeah.
So I hope if our listeners are, you know, by now know what numinous really is.
Told you already, I think, that a friend of mine used that word one time and I went, what? What is that? I've never heard that word before. Yeah. So it's like power, all powerful or all high or right?
Yeah,
numinous.
I mean, yeah. This is in chapters 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 10. I mean, if you look at the words that are used to describe the people's fear and terror of being around Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. So
okay.
At one point, it's the same. At one point, Jesus is sitting around eating a meal, talking to his disciples, on the road with them, you know, arms around them, things like that in my
and
head, you know.
It's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is true.
I like The Chosen for that. I mean, they emphasize that aspect of his humanness, right?
Right.
But they are unable to bring out the numinous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're unable to do it, but you know what? I do get a sense. I did watch The Chosen, a bunch of it,
mm-hmm.
and I do get the sense that they were afraid. You know, they were afraid of Jesus.
But they were afraid of what he was asking them to do and afraid of where he was taking them and afraid because they couldn't figure him out.
Okay,
right?
Gotcha.
But how do you portray the numinous?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Now they did do a good boat scene, you know.
Yep.
When Jesus was walking on the water, I was worried about that. I thought that was going to be, you know, kind of hokey. But it turned out to be pretty good. But still, there was when Jesus was on the boat in the storm in there with him. Okay, mm-hmm. It said that he rebuked the sea. Now, we know that the water deep is one of the three aspects of chaos and most terrifying, okay?
Yep.
Only God in the Old Testament can rebuke chaos. Okay, Yahweh, you know, screams out. So it wasn't that Jesus said, all right, stone, you know, settle down. He must have gotten up and just given out a huge yell and scream that echoed out into the waves, and everything just sort of just,
you know, calmed.
Got calm, right?
Yeah.
And the disciples' reaction, and I this is how I think about it, they all cowered in the back of the boat.
Uh-huh, sure.
Because they were terrified.
Yeah, getting away.
Just because they knew that he was God in the boat with them.
Yeah.
Okay, just the fact that God is in the boat with them, I don't know.
Yeah.
I what kept them from jumping overboard and trying to swim ashore, I don't know.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, doing it really bad, quick, you know, like swimming faster than Michael Phelps.
That's
like
it, that. Yeah.
Going for land.
land, ho! Yeah. Man, everyone's overboard except Jesus.
It was that kind of a terror, right?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So Yahweh has, you know, has personality. Jesus has personality. I mean, that's why I kind of called this post a meditation on Yahweh's personality, okay? I mean, I think that this is such an amazing thing of revelation, because if you look at all the pagan gods and stuff like that, they're all one-dimensional. They're fickle, you know what I mean? If you,
yes.
You know, they're all simple and superficial.
Yep.
Okay. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It really is ridiculous, because what happens is that God, the man made God in their own image,
mm-hmm.
okay,
right.
Which is simple.
Yeah. So they're
stupid.
The gods are just like the man.
That's right. That's right. But in the scripture, and this is huge, okay, is that God made man in his image and are expected to arise to that, mm-hmm. right? You know, so man is not in control of this thing, okay? The reality of God is that he is transcendent, and yet he really wants to get intimate. But getting intimate in and of itself, you know, intimacy is a hard thing to do with even with people.
Yeah, sure.
But getting intimate with God is like, whoa, okay, this is not easy. Learning how to get along with God is not easy.
Right.
But he wants to get along with you, and that's the point.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we see that, you know, Jesus is not a hippie, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's not like the 60s type, you know, Jesus is my friend, okay?
Right.
That's only a part of the whole thing.
Yes.
And that's the only part you know, then you are in for a rude awakening at some point.
Yeah, I certainly was in this story, that's for sure.
Right. So God cannot be controlled, and that's the most important thing. I mean, we're always trying to control the God. Pagans, that's what they do with their magic and with all their stuff, is trying to control God. We also do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, right. You can't control God, you know. He doesn't take kindly to that,
mm-hmm.
right? That's part of his personality.
Yes.
Okay. So this Yahweh that we are seeing here emerge in Exodus is Jesus, and that's the cool thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Anything else you want to talk about today?
I don't think so. I think that it's a great awakening for me about mm-hmm. the whole aspect of God, and the fact that mm-hmm. I can understand God as a person who loves me and wants to be intimate with me, but I can also understand God as the person who's hopeful that I stay in line with what he desires for me. And if mm-hmm. I don't, then that can be terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. And we're going to see plenty of instances on this as we proceed through the book of Exodus.
Okay, good. Thanks so much for coming in.
God bless you. Bye.
See you next time on Deep Dive into Scripture. Thanks for listening. The Deep Dive into Scripture podcast theme music is Epic Trailer by Scott Holmes, sourced from scottholmesmusic.com using a Creative Commons license. Please go to ancienthopes.org and the Books of the Bible links on that page for related posts from Father John. You can find more episodes of this show on the WSJF podcast server or on the Apple or Spotify podcast services. See you next time when we take another deep dive into Scripture. Don't forget this week to open that Bible and dive right in.